Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds so that we may clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You notice one of the things that Marie very correctly pointed out, that throughout Scripture, heaps of times, hundreds of times, we as God's people are referred to as sheep. You may have also noticed that Marie quite correctly pointed out, I thought it was an understatement actually, sheep are a lot of work. Did you think of yourself there then? I know I did. I sort of set up a bit of an apology prayer, you know. Sorry, Lord, that I am so much work. But sheep are. I think it's quite a good image. And so one of the issues that we have as sheep is we like to argue about who's in charge. In that graphic you can see up there, the sheep there are arguing about who's the shepherd. In the 21st century, we live in a world that tells you who's in charge. You, yeah, us. And if not only are you individually in charge of things, the group you belong are the ones that should be in charge. It seems to overlook that whole contradiction that if I'm in charge and you're in charge and everyone else is in charge, you get a mess, don't you? We used to have that proverb, you know, too many chefs. You know, if everybody's in charge of the kitchen, everybody starves, don't they? But the same comes for our spiritual lives, for our lives here on earth. It is our sinful hearts that want us to be in charge. And the world tells us that that is good, doesn't it? And it tells us time and time again. In fact, many get upset at this Christian concept that we as Christians see ourselves as sheep. It is not that we as sheep are blindly following someone. It is that we as sheep, as you can perhaps see in this image up on your screen, really need a good shepherd, don't we? And in that, in our Bible passages today, John chapter 10, the first half of it especially, more than what we read today. Jesus doesn't say, I'm a good shepherd until you get into verse 11. You've got to keep going. But John chapter 10 and Psalm 23 go wonderfully together, don't they? Don't you? I always, when I read one, think of the other. There's quite a connection there. And one of the things we've been saying over the past weeks, and we said again at our Bible study as we were looking as an intro to Genesis, is that whole thing from the road to Emmaus. Remember when Jesus reveals that all of Scripture is about him. And so this morning, I want us to have a closer look at Psalm 23. And yes, when David wrote this psalm, of course he's talking about God. And we're not taking anything away from that. But it is Jesus himself who takes that image and says about himself that I am the good shepherd. Jesus puts himself in that role because he is God in the flesh, isn't he? It's a fascinating study. We're not doing it this morning. But there's a fascinating study looking at all the various Old Testament images of God and seeing how Jesus puts himself in that place. You know, God is the rock. Jesus, I am the rock. You know, all these things. Fascinating. But we're looking at shepherd just now. And the shepherd is the one who looks after the sheep. And that's what we see in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is all talk about the shepherd, the good shepherd, who looks after the sheep. And we'll have a look at it in sections. Jesus provides. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What I need, he provides. Do you think about that? Do you thank Jesus for all that he provides? One of the things it's pointing out there as we think about the psalm is this rest that he provides. This rest and good food and water. He's making me rest in areas. If I'm a sheep, green pastures are food, aren't they? Still waters, gentle streams is drink. And he's leading me to lie down in these areas. He's giving me rest. He's giving me food. He leads me to where I can rest. One of the things Luther argued very strongly, and I think very well about, was that when it comes to the commandment about the Sabbath, you know, honoring the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, he argued, if you remember your small catechisms, he argues that the Sabbath is all about resting in God, resting in the Word, that we gather together on a Sunday so that we can rest in God's Word, that we can receive the good food, the good drink that our Lord provides, that we can gather around his table and receive good food, good drink. The Lord provides. Jesus provides. Jesus guides. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus is the one who is leading us in the ways we should go. Sometimes we would like him to be a little more direct in how he does that, you know, little note on the fridge or on the kitchen counter when you get up in the morning. These are the six things you must make sure you get done today. Our Lord does seem to see us as sheep as being a bit more intelligent, a bit more thoughtful than at least I find myself being at times. But he does provide these guides. We have his word, don't we? We have the scriptures. We can get to know more about how he would like you and I to live. Not with how the world tells us to live, but how he wants us to live. And how we are to love God and to love all those around us. It is Jesus who will guide. And he guides, as we read in Scripture, by his own example, doesn't he? Jesus protects. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As many of you know, Psalm 23 is one of the most common psalms used at funerals. What's often pointed out, especially at sort of a Bible college type thing, is that Psalm 23's got nothing to do about funerals. But because it's not that he's leading you through death, It's the shadow of death. It's talking about the you're going through dangerous situations. When I go through tough times, this is assuring us here, which Jesus assures us himself in the Gospels, he will go with us, won't he? He will never leave you. It may look like the world's crashing down upon your shoulders. It may feel like you are totally alone. But rest assured, your good shepherd is there with you. He is watching out for you. And he will bring you through this situation. It's not saying that you won't get a bit knocked about. And in fact, in following Jesus, we know that if the situation we're going through does lead to death, then for us as followers, that's even more glorious. Because we go to be with him in an even better way than we're currently with him. Now, I'm not dissing on this psalm for being in funerals, because for many who do suggest this psalm, they're not thinking about the death bit of it. They're thinking about this is how that person lived their life as a sheep following the good shepherd. And when you think of it that way, then it's a great psalm to have it at a funeral. But if you're thinking about it just because it mentions the word death, you're missing something there. But if you're seeing that this person, through the good times and the bad times, always hung on to their good shepherd, that they knew that the Lord was with them, that our God is faithful, then this psalm sums that all up quite well, doesn't he? But this passage in particular gives us comfort that in those tough times, we are not alone. Jesus restores. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is, of course, verse 5 from the psalm. There's a bit of an aspect of this verse that I'd never actually considered before the past couple of weeks, giving some thought to this psalm and reading some things that some people have said. I often picture this, and I'm pretty sure this is what David pictured when he says, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. As in, I'll be sitting there having a good feed. He'll prepare a good feed for me that I can eat in a relaxed sort of setup, while my enemies are kept at bay. Or maybe even, they can watch as I enjoy the feed that I'm having. I don't know about you, but often when you're in those times of turmoil, for those of you who have experienced war, if you're thinking about real physical turmoil, one of the tough things to do is to eat. And that here, David is pointing out that one of the things God does, this rest that we can have, this eating we can have, even when we're surrounded by enemies. And the Hebrew behind the words here can definitely mean that. But some have pointed out it can mean something else too. And this is where that Jesus aspect comes in. To sit down and eat a meal in the presence of your enemies can also mean with your enemies. As in, our Lord Jesus can turn our enemies into our dinner companions. Think about that. Our Lord, our Good Shepherd, is so great He can turn your enemy into your brother, your sister in the Lord, can't he? And isn't that what we really want for our enemies? If we're followers of Jesus, don't we want our enemies, those who hurt us, to come to know our Lord Jesus as well? I really like that aspect in there as well. I think, yes, there's the protection part. He's going to protect us. But he will also change those we think who are not part of us, who are not with us. He will bring them in. He can change the hearts. Because isn't that what he's done for all of us? Scripture says that Christ died for us when we were his enemies, not when we were his good friends. He saw us as sheep even when we didn't acknowledge him as our shepherd. Jesus blesses. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And as I said, it doesn't stop for us as followers of Jesus when death comes. We can dwell in God's kingdom. We can dwell in the house of the Lord now. But when he calls us to go and be with him, we will truly be in his house at that stage. And the blessings that we receive here on earth will seem like a drop in the bucket to all that is yet to come. All that we have talked about here in Psalm 23 is all because of the cross. As I said, when you move to the next verse from where our Bible reading today finished, you get into verse 11 of John chapter 10. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That is how much our Lord Jesus loves us, loves you and me. We silly sheep who keep going astray, who keep messing up. Our shepherd is so good, so devoted to us that he lays down his life. And as we keep reminding ourselves in this Easter period, he lays down his life for us and he is risen again. His death is not the end of the story. And so, as we gather around his table, remember the words in Psalm 23. Remember our good shepherd. Remember all that he has achieved for you and me through his life, death, and resurrection. I pray that each of us today comes eagerly to his table to receive the many blessings, the many mercies that he has given to each and every one of us, all because of the cross. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.